when I go out in public and walk amongst you, I run into people that have no idea what's going on in this country whatsoever. They hear little tidbits of information, but they have absolutely no understanding as to where we're at. So I thought I'd just spend like maybe a couple of minutes before the show begins just to edumacate you, just to help you along here. And it's very, very simple. Do you remember when this guy, Trump something, Donald something, I can't remember his full name because he's just never in the news. This guy was running for president, and his big thing was to build a wall between the United States and Mexico because he was a builder. His claim to fame was real estate and building things, building buildings, building the buildings of buildings. So he thought this would be very catchy to build a wall since he's a builder. This would show his expertise. Little did most people know that the guy's company went bankrupt like 3 times. But why do we pay attention to things like that? So there's this wall building thing going on that there are just people running from Mexico illegally into this country, just bombarding the place. As a matter of fact, the Trump campaign back then even released a video of these people like climbing over walls and climbing over fences and just flooding themselves through barriers. And it was passed off as being Mexicans getting into the country. It wasn't. It was video footage from the Middle East. It wasn't even the right place. That's where the lies started to manifest. That's where the manipulation began. It was a lie. It was not video of the Mexican border. It was the Middle East. It's incredible that we fell for this crap. Anyway, here's the fact. The fact is that Mexicans trying to get into the United States illegally has decreased. It was decreasing steadily during the Obama administration. There was no increased people getting into the country, climbing over fences and digging tunnels. It was decreasing by huge decreasing numbers. Trump just wanted to make a thing. He's still on this border wall kick. Now, back then, if you remember, and I could play it for you, but I don't think I even have to. I do have it. Trump continually said, I'm going to build a wall, and the Mexicans are going to pay for it. He said this over and over and over again, because we're not going to pay for a wall in this country. That's an expensive deal. We're not going to have the taxpayers pay for a wall. Mexico's going to pay for it. It's going to be absolutely free to us. That was Trump's big campaign thing. As we sit here today, Trump knows that Mexico is not going to pay for the wall. Mexico said they're not going to pay for the wall. Mexico is not paying for the wall. So Trump goes to Congress and he gets like hundreds of billions of dollars. I think it's like $40 billion or something, $38 billion, in order to start building the wall. Now he's threatening a government shutdown if he doesn't get the rest of the money to build the wall. All within the past few months, the Trump administration separating children from their parents who try to get into this country and then having absolutely no method to get the people back together again. So that there's still like 500 children that have not been reunited with their parents. Because our administration and our country couldn't figure out a system where they could get them back together some point later on. So it's funny how obsessively inane this all is. With all of that, your president, this Trump guy, he starts a trade war. He tells you that you're going to be better off with a Trump thing. Let's make America great again, and you're going to have money flowing out of your face. Well, so he passes. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's just so stupid. So he does a tax cut, basically for the rich. Some people get a little bit of a bonus after the tax cut is passed last Christmas, but not everybody. Wages hardly go up at all. actually wages have remained kind of solid, which is not good. Wages are supposed to go up for workers. They haven't gone up much at all. The Obama administration and the Bush administration, they were going up a lot higher. The Trump administration, hardly any movement. You're not making any more money. You're getting behind because inflation's going up and your paycheck is not. That didn't work out, did it? So the rich get a big tax cut. And by the way, Trump is proposing another tax cut right now as we speak, again for the rich, not for you. But, you know, you just let it happen. So Trump starts a trade war with every country, not just China, but with Canada and the European nations. So, in other words, if they want to sell goods to us, they have to pay a tariff so we can make money on that. So what they decided to do, all these other nations said, well, if you impose tariffs on us and make our prices higher, we'll make your prices higher. So that's what's going on. If Trump hadn't started this bunch of baloney stuff, we wouldn't be paying more money. We will be come by the fall or certainly by the beginning of the year, you'll be paying a lot more for everything you buy. Isn't that wonderful? And for no reason whatsoever. It's just an amazing thing. And going back to the wall, you're paying for it. You're paying for it. The United States is paying for the wall. The deficit has never been deeper. The country's financially falling apart. I'm just saying. Now you're caught up. Now you know what's going on. Now, let's do a show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
And that's just the beginning of it.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, boy.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon,
good morning, good afternoon,
good evening,
good evening,
good night,
good night,
thank you.
It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's true.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I originally predicted, when Trump became president, that he would be impeached by August. it's been, I was wrong. He's not impeached yet, if you didn't know. But it's coming up on another August, so maybe. Those that he confided in and knew about his financial dealings and his dealings with Russia are now under indictment. So things could be moving and shaking a little bit. I'm sorry for laughing again. This Rudy Giuliani guy, he's like a cartoon character, man. And he's saying the most uproarious, ridiculous things that makes people go, what the hell's going on here? The latest from Rudy Giuliani, who is Trump's personal attorney, he says that, you know, even if there was collusion with Russia, there's nothing wrong with that. Guy just wanted to win an election. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you serious? There's nothing wrong with that? Here's the latest report, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know this part. Follow the news. You'll find things very interesting if you do. Apparently, there is now proof from Homeland Security and the FBI and various security agencies that we actually have in this country. Russia has already penetrated our electric grid. Ron, what does that mean? It means that they, through cyber attack, have the ability and have tested the ability of getting into our grid system and shutting it down or causing problems with our electricity throughout the country. You know, you can do this now through computers. I know. Remember the good old days where if something went bad, somebody had to actually flip a switch or something? Now you can do it through computer systems. You can hack into a computer system which controls most, if not all, of our electric grid in this country. Russia apparently, according to reports, has figured out a way, and I don't doubt this, of actually shutting it down through hacking. That's nice. Because if our electric system was shut down nationwide, we would be so vulnerable for thousands of reasons that it wouldn't be funny. You can imagine the ramifications of not having electricity and then being under attack. Wouldn't put you in the upper position. All these things are being totally disregarded by our government. They're aware of it, but they don't do anything about it. Because this is a government that couldn't even have the intelligence when they separated families to be able to hook them up again later on. No little bakery numbers or anything like that. No little reminders that Bobby belongs to Marinda. I mean, come on, man. This is so embarrassing, it's kind of even very embarrassing. Anyway, let's start the show. I'm sorry to get off on a tangent. I don't do this very often, but things are just so amazingly, inefficiently stupid. And this is the way that we look to the rest of the world. And don't argue with me, it is the case. You can call anybody up you want who doesn't live in this country, and their response would be, what the fuck are you people doing? It's not me. It's not me. It's this douchebag who sits in the White House. And excuse me for calling him a douchebag, but I got to tell you something. The guy would call me a douchebag publicly in a second. So I'm just following the example of our chief, of our commanding officer. I think I'm going to be sick. Oh! Well, it's true.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
So this Trump guy is apparently the self-proclaimed dictator of this country, and we're watching that happen, but we just look at it and go, ooh, that's interesting. You don't understand how serious this really is. Here's a guy who warms up to dictators. He's actually said in so many words, they're very impressive leaders. They're impressive leaders because if you oppose them, they'll kill you. Impressive leaders, my ass. He cozies up to them. And then our allies, like the Canadians and the Europeans and others, he chastises, he puts them down, he alienates. Are we in an alternate universe or something? What happened here? What happened? Your president has proclaimed this word for word that the media and the press are enemies, the enemies of the people. the press are the enemies of the people? No, they're the saviors of the people. They're the ones that keep everything honest and clear, that keep us informed about what's going on. And if you think they're impartial, then you can check out different news outlets. The first sign of being a dictator is to remove the stumbling blocks. This is why Trump's a dictator. He's removing the free press so that all the information that you get comes out of his mouth and his head, and that's what you should believe. And that's what he said in those exact words. His truth, follow his truth. Don't believe anything you hear from the press. That's dictatorship. It's communism, ladies and gentlemen. And that's just the beginning of it. That's just the beginning. Believe everything I say. My truth is the truth of which we shall live by. Dictator! Dictator! Here's a dictator who goes to Russia, has a closed-door meeting for hours with Vladimir Putin, comes out, and doesn't tell anybody what they talked about. I thought this was a democracy. I thought you represented all of us. I thought this was all transparent information. But you have a two-hour meeting with a dictator, and you fail to say anything about it other than it was really good? What are you hiding? You don't think you have a responsibility to the people that voted you in or otherwise to tell them what happened? What happened in the North Korea meeting with Kim Jong-un? Oh, it was very successful, says Trump. We no longer have to worry about North Korea being a nuclear threat. Check out the news. They're still making missiles of mass destruction. Remember that phrase? This is crazy stuff. And when reporters ask the wrong questions, they are banned from press conferences. They're not allowed to attend now. Controlling the media, calling them enemies of the people because they ask questions that's too embarrassing for you to answer because it conflicts with your lies. This is what's going on, kids. And if you didn't know that, it's amazing that I'm the one to be telling you this stuff. Check it out yourself. Don't listen to me. Check it out yourself. Again, I'm sorry I'm wasting your time. You probably have other things to do. You probably want to have a sandwich or something. By the way, stay away from excessive lunch meats. A lot of nitrates in that thing, and it can cause you great pain and problems with your organs. You don't want that to happen. All right, let's move on. Went to a comedy show locally a few weeks ago, and there was this annoying female comedian, and I just about walked out on her, not because she was funny or not funny or whatever, not because she was profane, because she used a phrase over and over and over again that it was just pounding at my good senses. She would be telling a joke or about an experience that she had in her comedic onstage manner, but she used a phrase that is just so imbecilic. Here's what she said. I saw my friend yesterday, and we were talking. And I went to the movies yesterday, Andrea. Like, what did you see? Like, I saw one of those movies with the superheroes. Like, which one did you see? Like the one with the big boots, you know, Boot Man? Oh, like, I love that. I know you like it. Like, things were going on. Like, what did you do? Like, I saw this. Everything had like in it. Now, the word like, the definition as I recall it from my youth, is that you find something favorable. She was using it in the sense that this is the way you relay that someone said something. The proper term for this is, she says, I went to the movies. I said, did you see a movie? She says, yes, I saw a superhuman kind of movie. I said, that said is the proper thing for the advancement of what someone said. The word like is not to be used in place of that. Another word that goes in place of it, which I cannot stand, is the word go. She goes, you look good today. I go, thank you very much. She goes, are those new pants? I go, yeah, I bought them last week. She goes, did you see them on sale? I go, of course they were on sale. I wouldn't buy them without it. She goes, can I get a pair like that? I go, sure, go to the store, see what you can do. You're not going anywhere. You're saying something. You're not going something. What's going on? What's saying on? What's up? Like what? Like? I'm so confused. Am I the last remaining person on Earth with half a brain? No, you are as well. You have the other half of my brain, don't you? That's why we get along. Together, we have a full brain. A few days ago on this program, I spoke to about weather, about extreme weather. A young lady wrote a book called Extreme Weather. We're going to continue that conversation with a different weather person because it's important that you get talk about weather from two different standpoints. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm great, thank you.
Great. Michelle Bukoff Bajel. Did I pronounce your name properly?
Bukoff Bidek.
Okay.
But most people call me Michelle B, so please don't hesitate.
All right. I'll just call you Michelle. Okay. We're talking about the weather company that's partnering with a racing team to get some interesting results. Tell me about the weather company first.
Sure. So the weather company is part of IBM, and we are the world's largest weather enterprise, and we help millions of people and thousands of businesses make better decisions and take action in the face of weather and do it with greater confidence. Now, what you may not know is that the weather company has a large set of consumer properties like the Weather Channel. So weather is a daily habit, right? So, you know, oftentimes you're using our Weather Channel app. It's the first thing you look at in the morning.
Sure, it is.
And the last before going to bed, you might go online .com and see how the weather is going to impact traffic during your evening commute.
Yeah.
But in addition to providing this weather to you and the 250 million average monthly users who visit our properties, we're doing it for thousands of businesses like the airlines, like utility companies, like the government, anywhere you need accurate and precise weather information.
So why not do it for a racing team?
Exactly. Well, and racing is, you know, racing is a data-driven sport, and particularly Formula One.
Yeah.
So there is no better use of weather out there.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, it takes a big company like IBM to drive this information?
Well, it certainly does. What you're talking about is with weather is it is one of the largest and most challenging data sets out there, right? Mm. Let me put some numbers to it, and I certainly don't want to overwhelm, but it'll give you a sense of scale.
Mm.
At the weather company, we are forecasting for 2 billion with a B locations on the planet, updating that forecast every 15 minutes at a half a kilometer resolution. That's a neighborhood block here in Boston.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine that, you know, having that level of accuracy and precision necessitates having a really powerful engine, if you will, and pun intended, that can power that kind of data. And so being a part of IBM really does help us deliver the best forecast to anyone at any point in the planet, whenever they need it.
Well, that's kind of amazing, actually. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I think everybody has the Weather Channel app, certainly on their smartphones, but that's just a small part, I guess, of what you do there, huh?
It is. It is. You know, we're also powering the weather for Apple, Facebook, Google, Twitter, Yahoo.
Yeah.
If you're getting your weather, you're likely getting it for us. And I, you know, again, it's because we deliver that level of accuracy and precision, giving you the best forecast for where and when you are. We respond to 50 billion requests for weather information every single day. So there is no better place to get your weather. And we're really, really excited to be partnering with Aston Martin Red Bull Racing. This is the third partnership in the field of motorsports. It's the first in Europe, but it's the third in motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does showcase IBM's understanding and value of the weather.
Yeah. You know, we talk about the weather in the sense, oh, I'm going to need a raincoat today or an umbrella, or how should I dress the kids, or what's my commute going to be like? But the weather has become so consequential that it actually lives are at stake sometimes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And so whether we're delivering alerts to ensure that you're getting the most accurate and important information in the face of severe weather, or you just need to know what to, you know, whether to pack an umbrella for your child, we want to make sure that you have forecast and that you have that information when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
There are countless stories of people who've gotten alerts ahead of time and have been able to take shelter, take action in the face of impending weather threat. And so we're proud to be able to deliver that to the people who rely on us every single day.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a funny as an aside. When I was growing up back in the 1600s, they'd have these weather reporters. They weren't really meteorologists. They were just, they called them weathermen and weather ladies. And they just told you what the weather is going to be. And they were always wrong, and they were always apologizing for the fact, well, we got that wrong yesterday. Now, with the science, the science involved, it's kind of like so accurate. It's like night and day with the accuracy of that information.
Yeah, it really is. So let me tell you a little bit about that. And I want to start with let me tell you a little story, because I think this does set this tone. You made a point about the severe. So a few years ago, there was a tornado that tore through a small town outside of Lynchburg, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a mother who received an alert on her mobile phone from her local broadcast station telling her that her home was in the path of a tornado.
Uh-huh.
By the way, this was an EF3 that tore a path 21 kilometers long and 366 meters wide, with estimated max sustained wind speeds of 265 kilometers per hour.
Wow.
And this woman credits her life and that of her baby daughter to one thing, a mobile alert, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems like a very simple message that you're getting to your phone telling you that your home is in the path of destruction. But that simple message is actually used, it's powered or developed using sophisticated technology that leverages artificial intelligence, Watson, to ensure that she got the life-saving information she needed when she needed it most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do every single day, again, whether in the severe or the everyday.
Mm.
But to do that, you have to have a great deal of science and technology behind you, right?
Yeah.
So the single best model, weather model out there, won't produce the best forecast, believe it or not. It's actually a blend of the outputs of 162 weather models that deliver the most accurate mm-hmm. forecast for where and when you are, and those mm-hmm. models are weighted.
Yeah.
The other critical factor here is precision. Where are you specifically? It makes a difference because weather is hyperlocal. We see that here in this area. Are you, if you're inside the 128 belt or outside the 495 belt, your weather is going to be very, very different.
Correct.
And if you live within 2 kilometers of a weather reporting station, your forecast is going to be 15% more accurate. So to be able to bring all of this science and technology to bear, it's really shaped and evolved weather forecasting in a way that nobody else has been able to do.
Yeah, very interesting. And that's absolutely true. Just a few days ago, there were severe thunderstorms predicted for the Boston area. And I was saying to people who lived like one town away, wasn't that, that was like we were almost flooded yesterday. They said, what are you talking about? Didn't rain at all. It was beautiful out. So, excuse me, you're like 2 miles away. How is that possible? But, I mean, that's how much of an edge there is to these systems. It's amazing. Yeah.
Right. That's exactly.
Incredible. Okay. How do we get more information about this? And can Watson predict lottery numbers? No, forget that. Don't answer that.
Well, you know, is doing some great things now. Watson can debate, so that's incredible. If you want more information, you can go to weather.com or you can go to business.weather.com to learn more about how we're helping airlines and utility companies and media and entertainment companies do more with weather information. And if you want to hear about racing, I do suggest you tune into the Formula One circuit this weekend in Budapest, Hungary. It's going to be a great one.
Okay, maybe I'll just go there.
Right. Well, they'll be here in Austin. They'll be here in Austin a little bit late this year. It might be a little bit of a closer ride.
Okay, maybe so. Michelle, it's been fun, and thank you for the information, which is actually very crucial. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I am done for today. I've overloaded you with information, and I apologize for that. I'll be back again tomorrow with a show that's a lot more palatable. But in the meantime, keep your eyes open. Keep your ears tuned in. I wish you peace.